When I thought of Valsky, I thought of sunshine and the sweet, bright taste of peaches, thought of music. But I was sure I wouldn't be sent down to the planet this time. There would be no orchards for one esk, no visits, unofficial as unobtrusive as possible, to Choral Society meetings. Traveling to Valsky, I wouldn't, it turned out, take the gates, but generate my own, moving more directly. The gates most travelers used had been generated millennia ago, were held constantly open, stable, surrounded by beacons broadcasting warnings, notifications, information about local regulations and navigation hazards. Not only ships, but messages and information streamed constantly through them. In the 2,000 years I'd been alive, I'd used them once. Like all Rodchai warships, I was capable of making my own shortcut. It was more dangerous than using the established gates. An error in my calculations could send me anywhere or nowhere, never to be heard from again. And since I left no structures behind to hold my gate open, I traveled in a bubble of normal space, isolated from everyone and everywhere, until I exited at my destination. I didn't make such errors, and in the course of arranging an annexation, the isolation could be an advantage. Now, though, the prospect of months alone, with Anandermi and I secretly occupying my Vardek, made me nervous. Before I gated out, a message came from Lieutenant Skyot for Lieutenant On. Brief. I said, keep in touch. I meant it. Lieutenant Dariot said, see, I told you. But Lieutenant On didn't answer. Chapter 15. At some point I opened my eyes again, thinking I had heard voices. All around me, blue. I tried to blink, found I could only close my eyes and leave them closed. Sometime later I opened my eyes again, turned my head to the right, and saw Save Arden and the girl squatting on either side of a tick-tick board. So I was dreaming, or hallucinating. At least I no longer hurt, which on consideration was a bad sign. But I couldn't bring myself to care much. I closed my eyes again. I woke, finally actual wakefulness, and found myself in a small blue-walled room. I lay in bed, and on a bench beside it, Save Arden sat, leaning against the wall, looking as though she hadn't slept recently. Or that is to say, even more as though she hadn't slept recently than she usually did. I lifted my head. My arms and legs were immobilized by correctives.
You're awake, said Save Arden.
I set my head back down. Where's my pack?
Right here.
She bent, lifted it into my line of sight. We're at the medical center in Therid, I guessed, and closed my eyes.
Yes. Do you think you can talk to the doctor? Because I can't understand anything she says.
I remembered my dream.
You learned to play tick-tick? That's different.
So not a dream.
You sold the flyer.
No answer. You bought Kef.
No, I didn't, she protested. I was going to, but when I woke up and you were gone...
I heard her shift uncomfortably on the bench.
I was going to find a dealer, but it bothered me that you were gone and I didn't know where you were. I started to think maybe you'd left me behind.
You wouldn't have cared once you took the Kef.
But I didn't have the Kef, she said, voice surprisingly reasonable. And then I went to the front and found you'd checked out.
And you decided to find me and not the Kef, I said. I don't believe you.
I don't blame you.
She was silent for 5 seconds.
I've been sitting here, thinking. I accused you of hating me because I was better than you.
That's not why I hate you. She ignored that.
Amat's grace! That fall! It was my own stupid fault. I was sure I was dead. And if it had been the other way around, I'd never have jumped to save anyone's life.
You never knelt to get anywhere. You're where you are because you're fucking capable and willing to risk everything to do right. And I'll never be half what you are, even if I tried my whole life. And I was walking around thinking I was better than you. Even half dead and no use to anyone, because my family is old, because I was born better.
That, I said, is why I hate you.
She laughed as though I'd said something moderately witty.
If that's what you're willing to do for someone you hate, what would you do for someone you loved?
I found I was incapable of answering. Fortunately, the doctor came in, broad, round-faced, pale, frowning slightly, slightly more when she saw me.
It seems, she said in an even tone that seemed impartial but implied disapproval, that I don't understand your friend when he tries to explain what happened.
I looked at Savardin, who made a helpless gesture, and said,
I don't understand any of it. I tried my best, and the whole day she's been giving me that look, like I'm biological waste she's stepped in.
It's probably just her normal expression. I turned my head back to the doctor. We fell off the bridge, I explained. The doctor's expression didn't change.
Both of you?
Yes. A moment of impassive silence, and then,
it doesn't pay to be dishonest with your doctor.
And then, when I didn't answer,
you wouldn't be the first tourist to enter a restricted area and be injured. You are, however, the first to claim they'd fallen off the bridge and lived. I don't know whether to admire the brazenness or be angry you take me for such a fool.
Still, I said nothing. No story I could invent would account for my injuries in the way the truth did.
Members of military forces must register on arrival in the system, the doctor continued.
I remember hearing so.
Did you register?
No, because I'm not a member of any military force.
Not quite a lie. I was not a member. I was a piece of equipment. A lone, useless fragment of equipment at that. This facility is not equipped, the doctor said, just a shade more sternly than the moment before, to deal with the sort of implants and augmentations you apparently have. I can't predict the results of the repairs I've programmed. You should see a doctor when you return home. To the Gerentate.
That last sounded just slightly skeptical, the barest indication of the doctor's disbelief. I intend to go straight home once I leave here, I said. But I wondered if the doctor had reported us as possible spies. I thought not. If she had, likely she would have avoided expressing any sort of suspicion, merely waited for authorities to deal with us. She hadn't, then. Why not? A possible answer stuck her head into the room and called cheerily,
Brack, you're awake! Uncle's on the level just above. What happened? Your friend seemed like he was saying you jumped off the bridge, but that's impossible. Do you feel better?
The girl came fully into the room.
Hello, doctor. Is Breck going to be all right?
Breck will be fine. The corrective should drop off by tomorrow, unless something goes wrong.
And with that cheerful observation, she turned and left the room. The girl sat on the edge of my bed.
Your friend is a terrible tick-tick player. I'm glad I didn't teach him the gambling part, or he wouldn't have had any money to pay the doctor with. And it's your money, isn't it? From the flyer?
Savardin frowned.
What? What is she saying?
I resolved to check the contents of my pack as soon as I could. He'd have won it back playing counters. From the look on her face, the girl didn't believe that at all.
You really shouldn't go under the bridge, you know. I know someone who had a friend whose cousin went under the bridge and someone dropped a piece of bread off and it was going so fast it hit them in the head and broke their skull open and went into their brain and killed them.
I enjoyed your cousin's singing very much. I didn't want to reopen the discussion about what had happened.
Isn't she wonderful? Oh!
She turned her head as though she'd heard something.
I have to go. I'll visit you again.
I'd appreciate that, I said, and she was out the door and away. I looked at Savardin. How much did this cost?
About what I got for the flyer, she said, ducking her head slightly, maybe out of embarrassment, maybe something else. Did you take anything out of my pack?
That brought her head up again.
No, I swear, I didn't.
I didn't answer.
You don't believe me. I don't blame you. You can check as soon as your hands are free.
I intend to. But then what? She frowned, not comprehending. And of course she didn't understand. She had gotten as far as, mistakenly, evaluating me as a human being who might be worthy of respect. She hadn't, it seemed, come to the point of considering she might not actually be important enough for the Roch to send a special missions officer after. I was never assigned to find you, I said. I found you completely by accident. As far as I know, no one is looking for you. I wish I could gesture, wave her away.
Why are you here, then? It's not groundwork for an annexation. There aren't any more. That's what they told me.
No more annexations, I agreed. But that's not the point. The point is, you can come or go as you like. I have no orders to bring you back.
Savardin considered that for 6 seconds and then said,
I tried to quit before. I did quit. This station I was on had a program. You'd quit, they'd give you a job. One of their workers hauled me in and cleaned me up and told me the deal. The job was crap. The deal was bullshit. But I'd had enough. I thought I'd had enough.
How long did you last?
Not quite 6 months.
You see, I said after a 2-second pause, why I don't exactly have confidence in you this time?
Believe me, I do, but this is different.
She leaned forward, earnest.
Nothing quite clarifies your thoughts like thinking you're about to die.
The effect is often temporary.
They said, back on that station, that they could give me something to make Kef never work on me. But first, I had to fix whatever had made me take it to begin with, because otherwise I'd just find something else. Bullshit, like I said. But if I'd really wanted to, really meant to, I'd have done it then.
Back at Striegen's, she'd spoken as though her reason for starting was simple, clear-cut.
Did you tell them why you started?
She didn't answer.
Did you tell them who you were?
Of course not. The two questions were the same in her mind, I guessed.
You faced death back at Garsed.
She flinched, just slightly.
And everything changed. I woke up and all I had was past. Not a very good past, either. No one liked telling me what had happened. Everyone was so polite and cheerful, and it was all fake. And I couldn't see any kind of future. Listen.
She leaned forward, earnest, breathing slightly harder.
You're out here on your own, all by yourself, and obviously it's because you're suited to it, or you wouldn't have been assigned.
She paused a moment, maybe considering that issue of just who was suited to what, who was assigned where, and dismissing it.
But in the end, you can go back to the Roch and find people who know you, people who remember you, personally, a place where you fit, even if you're not always there. No matter where you go, you're still part of the pattern.
Even if you never go back, you always know it's there.